Audience in the country, welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. John MacArthur has been in the news. We talked about him yesterday and the irony of his lawsuit victory against the government because he moved against Christians for protesting and disobeying government orders, and now he has himself fought for the right to disobey the government. So that was yesterday's program. So interesting. But we've made the argument on this show for years, and it's now online at opentheism.org. It's one of the top menu items called aseity. We've made the argument that if it's true that God exists outside of time, then what that means, according to the classic theologians for centuries, God lives his entire existence in an instant. In a simultaneous instantaneity. If that's true, and then John MacArthur is part of the creation, that means that God has never known existence apart from John MacArthur. And we argue that that makes John MacArthur a necessary being, and it undermines the truth that God is a self-existent being. So I want to get to that in a moment, but first, a correction from yesterday's program. I mentioned that Jacob Blake from Kenosha, Wisconsin, was killed, and that was the early reports. He was shot. There were 7 shots at close range, almost point-blank range. And so some of the early posts that went viral, the podcast, had indicated that we had heard, had indicated he was killed. He was not killed, and he's recovering in a local hospital now after 2 nights of rioting and arson downtown Kenosha. So before we get to the aseity argument, I want to just make a mention in passing about Kenosha, Wisconsin, because Bob and Yart Live, we have a bit of history there. This program was on in Kenosha for 3 to 4 years, 5 nights a week, for an hour, and that was back when we were on in 80 cities from Honolulu to Orlando, Florida. And Kenosha, like all cities, has a strong leftist, anti-Christian, anti-biblical component to it. And so there was a bar there, I believe it was a homosexual bar, and in that bar, they had a dummy of me hanging in effigy, hanging with the name Bob Enyart written on it. So the U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Russ Feingold, had, I mean, we're going back to the 1990s, I haven't followed up on their family, or has a sister who, if I recall, is a lesbian, and I believe she's also a judge, was a judge, and she complained to her brother, who's a U.S. Senator, about Bob Enyart Live, and he actually asked the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, to investigate this program, to investigate Bob and Yart Live and see if they could find grounds for censoring this program, for the government shutting it down. And so back then in the 90s, that was less likely. Of course, it's more likely today. But in Canada, for example, we're on in 80 cities, and a radio station in Canada wanted to carry the program. And they were told that they could not carry the program because we taught that homosexuality was immoral, that it was wrong. So that's government censorship, of course, of biblical truth. So the station I was on was purchased by a Christian billionaire broadcast magnate, Bud Paxson. Bud Paxson sold the TV stations all over the country to a brand new network that became known as the Home Shopping Network. So Bud Paxson has been a major player in broadcast TV stations in the U.S. for many decades. And I called up the Paxson Network corporate headquarters to try to get Bud Paxson on the line because they took off my show. My show's no longer on the air in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I get to, you know, the receptionist for the corporation and talk to her. She says, well, let me put you through to a secretary. I get to the executive secretary and make my case. And she says, well, you know, nobody could reach Bud, but let me see. So about a minute later, Bud Paxson picks up the phone. He says, is this Bob Enyart? Yeah, Bud, how you doing? Bob, let me tell you why you're talking to me. It's not possible just to call a corporation and get the CEO on the line, but we have purchased hundreds of TV stations all over the country. Hundreds. We have canceled entire 24-hour programming on those stations to put our own programming on. We have never, when we canceled 24 hours, 7 days a week, a whole slate of programs, we have never received the amount of mail and phone calls and complaint and request to restore programming as we have for your single program in Kenosha. What in the world are you doing on TV? What are you doing there? And so we had a great talk. He's a Christian, strong Christian. And he said, if it's possible that I could, you know, use your program in some way, I will certainly keep it in mind. That never happened. A couple years ago, he spoke down in New Orleans. I was there. It was the NRB convention, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And when he's done, he's the keynote speaker. So powerful. And, of course, he comes down from the podium, and he's rushed by 20 people who want to talk to him. And so I'm hoping to also, but I'm not good at pushing my way through a crowd, and he's going to leave any minute. And so I just lift my hand up over the group out toward him, and I'm holding my card. And I said, Bud, this is Bob Enyart. Please let me give you my card. And he looks at the card and he takes it and he says, this is your Visa. This is your credit card. And I had written my phone number with a Sharpie on the credit card. And I said, I know, but it has my phone number on it. And he says, aren't you worried giving me your credit card? And I said, Bud, you're a billionaire. What are you going to do with my credit card? So in the next week, he did have his executive secretary call me and get my address, and they did return my credit card. But we never reconnected. He passed away in 2015. He also started Paxnet Television. He might have been one of the early founders of the Home Shopping Network. At least that's how he made so much of his money, and then selling that network, those stations. So now that brings us back to John MacArthur, who had threatened legal action against our friends and co-rescuers, Operation Rescue, peacefully trying to save unborn children from being dismembered at Planned Parenthood and other abortion mills. And he threatened them and said that they had to obey the law. And they quoted the Bible back to him, we must obey God rather than man. And when the government is telling you to disobey God, then you obey God. That's what it says in the book of Acts. And throughout the Bible, we see that principle. And it's in our seminar, God's Criminal Justice System. If you haven't enjoyed that seminar, you owe it to yourself. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee. You go to our website, kgovkgov.com/store, or just click on the top of the website, the store, and look for the God's Criminal Justice System seminar. I do believe that you'll love it, and you'll see the overwhelming biblical material showing that God wants his people to confront and to disobey the governing authorities when it's a matter of obeying him or the government. So that was a finer point lost on John MacArthur until the government wasn't killing kids, until it was telling him he had to shut down his services. And so then all of a sudden he remembered that you could disobey the government, resist the government. And what, about half of the people in the Book of Hebrews Hall of Faith, about half of the people honored in the Epistle to the Hebrews, an entire chapter on men of faith and women of faith, and half of those people earned their way into that chapter by living out their faith by disobeying the governing authorities, half of them. So it's a strong Christian and biblical tradition. The apostles were in jail. The prophets were in jail. Jesus was in jail. Christian leaders throughout the centuries have been in jail. Okay, so John MacArthur. Has God known his entire existence with John MacArthur? Does God not know of any existence apart from the existence of John MacArthur? Because if God is outside of time and experiences his entire life as an instantaneity, he lives his eternity in an instant. That's what classical theology claims. That would mean then that God has never known existence apart from you. He's never known existence apart from John MacArthur. So we have an article on a website called opentheism.org. In open theism, some people might try to scare you about that concept. It's the belief that God is free and God can think new thoughts. So many Christians, trying to preserve their own reputation and authority, they want you to think this is unbiblical and radical, but they believe that God cannot think a new thought, that God has exhausted his creativity. He has no more creativity left in him, but that is all false because God is living. He has a will. He is inexhaustibly creative, and believe it or not, he could write a new song, design a new butterfly, and think a new thought. He could do those things. So at opentheism.org, the menu across the top, if you're on a phone, you click on those few lines and you get the menu. And there's one menu item. There's an open theism list of verses, 570 verses in 33 categories, where the Bible teaches that the future is not settled but open. Such a fascinating list. When people Google open theism verses, they find that, and it's so powerful. And then there's also an article on time, God and time. And then there's a timeline of the teaching about open theism going back centuries. And then there's an open theism YouTube channel. It's actually our Bob and Yurt Live open theism playlist on YouTube. And there's an open theism store. That's actually our KGov store and specifically our open theism resources. Well, also then there's another top level menu item, and it's a word most Christians will not recognize. It's aseity, A-S-E-I-T-Y, and it's a doctrine. And while that word has been used for a changing list of ideas over the centuries, over the last 1,500 years or more, fundamentally, it has to do with God's self-existence and God as the only necessary being. Okay, so it says aseity. People click on that to see what in the world is aseity. And they get this article that I've written. What an honor to write this. And it's titled Foreknowledge Versus the Necessary and Self-Existent Being. Foreknowledge, because it's taught that God knows everything that will ever happen. He has eternally known everything that will ever happen. Foreknowledge versus the necessary and self-existent being. Okay, so these are doctrines that are opposed to one another. So one or the other might be true or false, but they can't both be true. So let's get into the article. Any doctrine that claims that for God to be God, he had to know you, the reader, from eternity past, would make you too a necessary being and would undermine God himself as a self-existent being. Therefore, any such doctrine is false. Pretty simple so far? If, in fact, the doctrine of exhaustive foreknowledge is held to be an essential attribute of deity, that is, God could not be God unless he had this omniscient foreknowledge, exhaustive foreknowledge, then that means that because you exist, or John MacArthur exists, then if exhaustive foreknowledge is true, God has known you from eternity past. And so that's the opening of the article. Any doctrine that claims that for God to be God, he had to know you, the reader, from eternity past, would make you too a necessary being and would undermine God himself as a self-existent being. How could he be self-existent if he's known you from eternity past? Then it would be you and God for eternity past, self-existent, not from your perspective, because from your perspective, you weren't even around in the 1800s, but from God's perspective, where all of creation, all of history, all of eternity is instantaneous and simultaneous with his entire life, then that would mean from God's perspective that you have always been there. And God's perspective is the ultimate accurate perspective. Our perspective could be skewed, and it often is, but God's is not skewed. So that would mean, if that doctrine were true, which it's not, it's false, it's not biblical, but it would mean that for eternity past, it was you and God, that you and God. He has never been a self-existent being. You've always been there. Doesn't that make you feel better? God really, for God to be God with exhaustive foreknowledge, he needs you. Without you there with God for eternity past, then his knowledge would have been incomplete. It would have been inaccurate. And as we're told by so many classical theologians, then he could not have been God. So it turns out that you are necessary for God to be God, the ultimate humanist perspective. So the opening paragraph there, it's only two sentences. It concludes the second sentence, therefore, any such doctrine is false. Let me continue. Theologians rightly describe God from everlasting as the only necessary and self-existent being, whose goings forth are from of old, independent of any other being. That's all true. Now, today, God is not self-existent today. Today, God exists with all the powers and principalities and authorities and all the human beings that have descended from his created son, Adam, so to speak, son, and Eve. And so God exists along with a multitude, multitudes of beings. But from everlasting, in reality, God was the only self-existent being, the self-existent being. However, by Calvin's theology, the article continues, and that of Arminius too, omniscience, including exhaustive foreknowledge of other beings, is an essential divine attribute. So this is not only the Calvinist guys, this is half of you out there in the audience too, that of Arminians. Because Jacob Arminius, he believed also that God had exhaustive foreknowledge. He said it was quite a problem for him. He couldn't understand how that could be. And when a statement like that is made, it's reasonably insignificant if somebody means, well, I don't understand how an airplane can fly. That's pretty insignificant. That's not what Arminius meant. It's when someone proposes something that its essential feature contradicts reality. And then someone objects and says, you know, I don't really understand how that could be because what you're claiming contradicts reality. That's an entirely different kind of observation than just, I don't understand how something is. It's the kind of observation that means that no matter how much more information you get, and no matter how many arguments you could bring to the table, you could never resolve this because it is an inherent contradiction. And so that's what Arminius felt in his gut. My article at opentheism.org continues with a subhead on a paragraph. It's titled, The Necessary Calvin? Exhaustive foreknowledge is a false doctrine for many reasons, including that, that's a link to our verse list of 570 open theism verses in the Bible in 33 categories showing that the future is not settled but open. So exhaustive foreknowledge is a false doctrine for many reasons, including that if it were true, it would turn John Calvin and Jacob Arminius, for that matter, into necessary beings. Now, isn't that something? Let's talk a little bit of philosophy for a moment. If you look up the concept of necessity and sufficiency, and you find philosophers talking about an if-then statement, and it's a conditional statement, and it's like this, if S, then N. What does that mean, if S, then N? Well, S refers to some antecedent, like let's say God has exhaustive foreknowledge, and the N is called the consequent. So if S, then N. If God has exhaustive foreknowledge, then he has always known Calvin. For example, okay, if S, then N. Well, that conditional statement in philosophy can be written in several different ways. One is S is true only if N is true. S, the antecedent, is true only if the consequent is true. So if God has exhaustive foreknowledge, then he has always known Sproul. That means that if there is an essential attribute of deity called exhaustive foreknowledge, if there is, then that means that Sproul is necessary. Sproul is a necessity. So, and you know, we make the case that by exhaustive foreknowledge, God is not the only self-existent being from eternity past. And when you remove God's self-existence, that has grave consequences for the idea of a necessary being. When God is no longer from eternity past the self-existent being, then that has grave consequences for the concept of who is a necessary being. So let's continue. God from everlasting would not be the only necessary being if he possessed an omniscience that meant he had to have eternal knowledge of every human being. It is not biblical, but manifestly a man-centered philosophical claim that every human always had to be in God's mind, or else God could not be God. Even Augustine, in his book Confessions, admitted to interpreting the scriptures through pagan Greek philosophy, or as he put it, by Plato's devotees, the Platonists. Now, we link there to our article on Augustine, very brief, kgov.com/Augustine, and you'll see Augustine saying exactly that, that he interprets the Bible based on Plato's philosophy. Now, how's that? It's one thing to draw an analogy or to find a connection between the Bible and something an unbeliever has said or taught or observed. Like you could make a connection between the Bible and some Hollywood movie. And that's, theoretically, that's perfectly fine. But if you announce to the world, I interpret the Bible based on Hollywood, then you have admitted that you are an unreliable teacher of the scriptures. You don't realize that, but that's what you have admitted. And it turns out that Augustine, who interprets the Bible by pagan Greek philosophy, he is considered to be the most influential of all Christian theologians. They have all, the Catholics, the Protestants, the Calvinists, and the Arminians, have built their fundamental classical theology based on Augustine. The whole bunch of them. So tragically, back to the article, along with other theologians and their deference to Augustine, tragically, Calvin imported humanist ideas into theology. One such idea just happens to make John Calvin a necessary being, for without him, God could not be God. The next paragraph is titled The Necessary Sproul? R.C. Sproul. Here's another inescapable consequence of exhaustive foreknowledge. If God from everlasting could not be God, apart from knowledge of R.C. Sproul, not only does that mean Sproul is necessary, but also that God could not be self-existent. For then his omniscient existence would depend upon Sproul, that is, upon God's knowledge of Sproul, and therefore, of course, even upon Sproul himself. For based on the false teaching of exhaustive foreknowledge, without knowing of this Calvinist preacher, Sproul, God's knowledge would have been incomplete, and therefore he could not have been God, according to their theology. That is, he could not have been the settled view God. There's the open view and the settled view. That's the belief that the entire future is not open but settled, and that God cannot think a new thought. He's done with that. He no longer has any creativity. He has exhausted his creativity as far as the classical theologians are concerned. If you are a songwriter, you could write a song, and then you could remember the song and sing the song, but you only write the song once. So God is a songwriter. He has already written or inspired every song he will ever write or inspire. He's done. He might remember those or sing them or get other people to sing them, but he cannot write another song. He can't do it because he can't think a new thought, because for some reason, all the creativity and all the ability to initiate thoughts he ever had, he has expended. He traded all that away for some bizarre reason, and now he can no longer think a new thought or write a new song. So, he could not have been the settled view God without R.C. Sproul. Likewise, if from everlasting God cannot be God, apart from possessing exhaustive foreknowledge, which included knowledge of Sproul allies like John MacArthur and John Piper, that's in the article, that means that Piper and MacArthur, too, would be necessary beings. And by their bad doctrine, God could not be self-existent, for he would be dependent, in part, on MacArthur, Piper, and Sproul. We'll continue this, Lord willing. Our website, kgovkgov.com. This is Bob Enyart. May God bless you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Make sure to visit our website, kgov.com. That's kgov.com. And please make sure to subscribe to the program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're at it, leave a 5-star rating or give us a thumbs up. Click the heart button, whatever it is on the app you use. If you enjoy the show, go ahead and tell a friend about us or share the link to this episode. We'd really appreciate it. This is Bob Enyart for KGov.com. May God bless you.